All right, so let me get started. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another hot Sunday Twitter space with me, Lelo, and Maple. This time we are chatting live to the cast and creators of the Netflix series, How to Ruin Christmas, The Funeral. So this is a bit nerve-wracking for me, I must admit, but we are here because I really, really, really enjoyed the show. So I reached out to Netflix and I asked, guys, can we please do this? Because I think it would be super cool to just have a space for us as fans of the show to interact with the actors and the creators, the writers, the directors about the making of How to Ruin Christmas. So thank you, Netflix, for saying yes. And thank you, Rita Bile, Kat, and thank you to the Silos and the Twalas who are joining us tonight. And with that, let me welcome my fabulous co-host, Mable. Welcome.
Welcome to myself, and thank you for welcoming me. I wanted to have a DJ horn for this space, but as I was standing up, the remote fell on the floor and the battery went under the couch. So we're off to a technical difficulty, but it shall be handled. Yeah. So I'm looking for a remote. That's why I'm huffing and puffing, because I had a DJ horn ready for when somebody says something hot. You hear that poo, 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 poo. But guess that's not happening.
I was also, I actually asked someone before, I said, guys, how do you play music in the space? Because I wanted to play Ngilibanzela for life. So guys, thank you so much for joining the space. I sent an invitation to Kat. Kat, please just check there if you've got an invitation for you to speak. Rita Bile, I've sent you one as well, because I would like for us to just get started with you guys with a couple of questions that we've got. So guys, we are going to have so much fun tonight. I'm super excited.
Hello.
We are going to give you... Hello, Sia. Aume Sia.
How does this work? Should I speak
it works
now?
The way
is my mic on?
Wow. Wow, Trevor. Wow.
My mic is on.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, switch off your mics and then we will invite you to actually answer questions when we reach your section of the show. Okay. For now, Mr. Twala, please.
This is my first
Oh my
time.
Gosh.
This is my first Twitter space, so I don't know how it worked. Literally, I've never been on one, so.
Hey, Kat.
You just keep quiet.
Kat and I are watching the Liverpool game.
Wow. Good luck, you guys. Okay. You co-host, good luck.
Okay. Anyway, guys, hold on. Okay. So this is how it works.
Here.
No, she's
okay.
Here.
Wait.
Swanky's here.
I'm about to add Swanky as a speaker.
Okay.
Hold on.
Swanky. I feel like
Rami's also here, guys.
Okay.
Rami.
You know, hold on, guys. Wait. I feel like I'm actually a teacher on an excursion. And it's not like, yeah, okay, cool, right? This is how we are going to do this. So we are going to start with Rita Bile, and we are going to start. Hi, Swanky, welcome to the space.
Hey.
Please mute your mic.
Okay, cool.
And Rami as well as the speaker as well.
Yeah. All right.
We've added him. We've added her.
Yeah. Okay. Rita Bile is here.
Yeah.
Rami.
I am.
Rita Bile, I love you so much, by the way. This is not me applying to be on the next season, but I really do love you, and I'm amazing and I'm funny. So, yeah.
Noted, comrade.
Oh, now that.
I did not say no.
I said nothing. I just said I'm hilarious. And
I'm
I think I'll
everyone.
Be.
I am muting everyone, including my co-host who's busy auditioning
hey,
for How
Saints.
To Ruin Christmas. I'm
with you, Saints.
Okay, guys, this is how it works. This is how it works. Maple and I are going to be asking questions. We're going to start with the producers. I don't know. Do I call you guys directors or whatever I call you, Rita Bile, the Bentanian? We're going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to give the audience an opportunity to also just ask questions. We're going to keep it light and fun. And when we're done, we go to the Twalas. And, oh, those chaotic Twalas. That's why Hunali Chaos in this space already is because the Twalas joined. And then after that, we're going to go to my favorite, the Silos, Bona Beauty. She's sitting there quietly, you know, being pretty.
Wait. Okay.
Wait, hold on. Lelo.
Yes.
Lelo, you cannot say the chaotic twirlers and then move on to mention the fact that you love the silos. The same
exactly.
people that live with a sheep in a house. No.
That sheep takes showers. Some people in this space don't take showers. That sheep takes showers. So please.
Ritabile, I'd like to start with you. Ne? For the people that are joining in the journey of how to ruin Christmas, because we're not going to assume that everybody is on season two and they're deep within it. Some people actually in South Africa join in to series when they see the hype and they see that there's a progression into the next season and they see people talking about it. I know you've been speaking about this since the first presser that you've had, but how was this series conceptualized? And there's something beautiful that I see with it is that a lot of South African stories that are out there, we like to lean in on the poverty aspect of it, the things that we go through as a country in terms of, you know, our socioeconomic issues. But you chose to go a different route where you showcased South Africa to the world in a very, very different light. And it's light, it's fun, and we're seeing the opulent side of Black people that's not muddled in corruption, but it's just a normal family. Yes, the Twalas have their own things, but it's a normal family and they are trying to navigate the world. They've got their flaws and they're mixing with a family from a different background. How did you guys conceptualize that? And what made you guys go the route of not being typical?
Well, I suppose, I mean, hello everyone and thank you for joining. I've never been on a space, so I'm very excited. This is exciting. Anyway, I suppose you guys can thank COVID for bringing this story to life. Last year, obviously, was a pretty rough year and we were all locked down. And Kat, who's also here in the space, who's my brother and also business partner and co-creator of the series, we wanted to bring some laughter, some joy, something just to forget about what a terrible year it was. And it all centered around this character called Dumi, who was just like the black sheep of a family. We were very excited to write a role for a modern black female that, you know, has to straddle the lines between tradition and modernity, which is who we thought we are. And it's like, what better way to show the world what December in South Africa is like than with a wedding, which was season one. And that was actually the aim, is to bring joy. And in the aspects of doing that, it was discovering what Christmas meant for South Africans. What does that even look like for us? And weddings, funerals, events are usually what's around December. And it was like, well, how do we bring that aspect to life? We have two different families. They come from different aspects of income. They come from different worlds. And when you get married, you marry into each other. And what does that look like? And where can we find the comedy? So that's essentially the inspiration, wanting to spread joy and laughter. I don't know if Kat's been invited to speak. If he wants to add a few points there, or he's just going to listen.
Is this taken from maybe your family experience?
Not at all. But I will say that some of the characters are people that we know within our family. And I would hope that you guys also recognize them. The story is a celebration of being black, of being who we are and of how we come together. And it may seem chaotic and a mess, but at the heart of it, it truly is family, fun, wholesome goodness.
Lelo?
Thank you, Ritabile. I've been inviting Uket because I can see him in the space, but he's not getting the request. But I also know he doesn't really like doing these public things. So, Ket, if you would like to speak, please just press the mic on the left, at the bottom left, and then we'll put you up onto the stage. So, Ritabile, just one other question from my side.
Ket is a very big soccer fan, and Liverpool is playing right now. Give him a break.
Okay. We'll channel all his questions to you, Trevor, aka Sia. Ritabile, one last question from my side. You guys did the wedding first, and then this season you decided to go with the funeral. I'm now wondering what's coming next season. But before we get there, how did you guys decide on the funeral this time around?
I think it was it was the next big thing that what do black people usually gather for? What brings us families together? And, you know, wedding is one and then funerals are another. And unfortunately, I mean, December being December, these things occur and happen. And we needed something else. Once these families were married into each other, we were like, well, what else could bring them together over the season? And I think the funeral was just the thing that made sense.
And the music this season, guys, I was going crazy.
it's a collective effort putting that music together, but we went with nostalgia. December is nostalgia and big hits. So a lot of the tunes you heard were like old school jams, and we also have a lot of Kwaito coming out of Lekeke, which is very intentional. I think it's quite a journey to bring that all together with the help of our music supervisor. And we have a great composer, Sam, who works really hard to even their songs. And I know in season one, the main song that everyone was like, oh my gosh, was when Dumi was saying her speech. At the wedding, that was an original composition. In season two, when Gogo dies, that final song you hear at the end is an original composition, as well as when they're throwing the ashes. We work really, really hard to kind of put the show together to give you the essence of December and family. And I don't know, I hope we succeed every season, and hope for more seasons to come.
Okay. Rutabile, I'd want to know, right? You know, when you're doing casting, maybe you're sitting with the casting director and, certain people are not always the first choice. So, were there other people that you guys tried to go for and they maybe were not available and they turned things down and through the audition process? Because the cast right now is perfect. I'm not trying to slate the cast. But I always like to hear those stories when I read magazines on some, you know what, for the role of Beauty, we wanted Thuson Bedu, but she was in America. And then Thando also auditioned. And then Thando was good and Thando got the role. Are there people that actually auditioned for the show, or they were maybe... what do you call it? You guys were looking at them and they were not available, and then you guys moved on and made different casting decisions? Or are the people that you guys have right now the first people that you guys were gunning for?
Every single person here auditioned for their role. There was no like, oh, we're going to try this person. Are they available? We started on a clean slate. It was the craziest audition process. We had callbacks after callback. When we create the characters, we don't see the faces. We want the actors to show us who they are. And I don't know. I think everyone embodied it like better than I ever imagined. I mean, you've got Desmond Dube out here. You've got Rami and Aunt Grace. And I think you guys see the growth in terms of now we've learned to play with these actors in season one. And season two, we got to then take that even further and let them explore these characters that they embodied so well. So unfortunately, I don't have any juicy stories about, you know, this person was meant to be that person, but it was like a clean slate. And we just, you know, everyone auditioned. I'm sure everyone has a casting story. It was literally from scratch. I mean, even all the big names that you see there, you know, sent casting tapes. And then came for callbacks, and then came for partner pairings. It was all just meant to be.
Okay. I want to fantastic. See Trevor Gumbi's tape. Because that's... I want to see that tape.
Maple and Lelo are just looking for the juice.
And there's none, eh? Listen,
everyone that's on the space is trying to get an insight as to this big, you know, production that has taken the South Africa by storm. We've seen the presses, we've seen the articles, but we are in a Twitter space, so we gotta get some juice, you know. Trevor, I'm going to actually come to you. Wait, actually, Lelo, let's open up the floor for maybe three questions that are directed to Rutabile from the people on the space. So out of the people that have requested, there's Megan, there's Dwayne, there's Little Bockel. So guys, please, if you have a question for Rutabile, Rutabile is a director and co-creator of the show. So if you have a question, please just request. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds to do that, and then we'll just pick at random. So it will be a random It's a random draw. So we'll pick about four people to actually ask a question. Please keep your questions concise so that we can move on to the actors that are on the space and then open questions as well. So I've got three people that have requested. Okay. Dwayne, welcome to the space. Dwayne, hi.
Let's start with Megan.
Okay. Let me find some.
Let's go with Megan.
Okay, Megan. No, Megan has requested, but I don't think Megan is through as a speaker. Let me add Megan as a speaker.
Okay, Mable, while you add them, Ritabile, I just have one question about like this season, how you guys were balancing comedy and then there's romance and then there's the serious stuff like the loss that Beauty was dealing with. I think as I was watching, I saw especially Sandile's character, like I felt like, man, I feel like everybody else is having fun, but oh, Beauty, no, what's Sandile's character?
They are,
yes, and Swoo, they have these serious, sad moments. Like there's a scene where they are in the bedroom, and I was like, that touched me. I was like, oh man, these guys are like, and there's the scene in the bedroom and then the scene at the beach. So how do you balance, like, you one minute we're laughing, the next minute we all the other minute we all wanting to cry because, like, we can, you know, we feel how sad they are about their situation.
I actually have a funny story about that. This season, Kat and I co-directed some episodes, and I remember shooting a scene with Beauty on the beach, that beach scene that at the end, and she turned to me and she's like, you know, I thought this was meant to be a comedy because in every scene she's just crying. And what it means for us is that comedy celebrates all aspects of life. Drama is comedy. And this show aims to show us the experience of Black people and family, be it with miscarriages, be it with loss. And the main theme of this season being loss. So Beauty and Spoo, we needed that kind of storyline. For us, it's not about having a laugh a minute or a gag per minute. It's about, you know, exploring issues about daddy issues, whether it's about miscarriages, as I've said, whether it's about Dumi and her own deciding if she's toxic and who is she as a person, what does she want from relationships. Yes?
Dumi is definitely toxic. So we're not...
Wow.
Dumi is definitely toxic. Like, and the people that are on the space that say, oh no, but, you know, on the second season, she was portrayed as somebody that brought along everyone and things ended up going well. I'm just like, that's like saying that, you know what? I'm so glad that my cancer brought my family together. It's still cancer. No, Dumi's toxic.
Oskam Chaja, please.
My play is Team Twala. My play is Team Twala. Yeah, so of course he's gonna think that. So thanks, Tabula. Oh, Kat is struggling a bit. I have even sent him a request to cause. I think he's struggling a bit with finding the right button to press. So let's go to some of the speakers that have joined. Mozondi, welcome. Do you have a question for the creators of the show? Mo? All right, we are struggling with these guys. Mrizo?
Little Boko?
Okay. You know, I ruin Christmas. I ruin Christmas on the 24th, and probably I would, I'm a closer to number one, right? And probably there'll be a death expected, or a death would happen just before Linduza, just to ruin really Christmas, because it's so tweeting, right? You expect it to come back home. And, once you come back home, there are certain things, the family members, they want you to come home. So it'll be like on the 24th, on the 26th. Yeah, well, by way, the death which you guys are talking about, I would actually like, as a script writer, put into, well, okay, you know what? This is how you actually ruin Christmas. You ruin it on the 24th or on the 26th after the Christmas. Yeah, well. So I don't know if I'm.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, my brother. I didn't get to understand the question, but thank you for, for that. Maple?
I think he has a problem with the fact that Christmas was ruined on Christmas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, yeah, that's a big word. Okay, but I didn't quite get where he was going with it. But because we're moving fast, Dennis, welcome to the space. Do you have a question for Ritabin?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for having the space and just creating this opportunity to engage with the people behind How to Ruin Christmas. Retabile, from my side, I would like to ask you how, as a storyteller, how did Netflix help you in bringing all of the magic together? I know there's the great advantage of, you know, being in so many countries and it having this big broadcasting platform to so many people. But as a storyteller, how would you say they helped you bring, they enabled your vision? Essentially, how did they help you do that?
Well, firstly, I don't know that we have this kind of comedy series on any of the other broadcasters. So that's the first big thing that I'd like to put out. In fact, I think in, I don't know if it was last year, but or the year before, the comedy category at the SAFTAs did not exist. And I was, when that year came out, I was like, this is crazy that we don't have comedies that are being nominated, or not enough, not to say that they weren't enough. And for us to be able to tell a story like this with Netflix has been incredible. They are super supportive and trust us to know what the market would love, know what kind of stories we want to tell. And I think that's exceptionally beautiful to have that sort of relationship. They're not like our clients. We're like partners. And I don't just say that because I'm like, oh, you know, we have to say they are our partners. They really, really are like people that are supportive, bounce off ideas off of. I mean, we shot during COVID. We shot during the KZN riots, and I don't think any other broadcaster could have supported us like they did to bring the story to life and to make sure that everyone had a How to Ruin Christmas season 2. So it's a life changing thing. I'm not going to lie. I get to write with amazing writers. I know Loisy's on this space as well. And to be able to just do a 45-minute comedy drama it's been unheard of, and it's kind of been a thing. We started in the sitcom space. To be able to grow into this is very exciting, and to know that the world watches it blows my mind every time I think about it.
Thank you, Ritabin. Brently, welcome to the space. Do you have a question for Ritabin?
I just want to say congratulations and well done. The show was really good. I'm almost done with it, not yet at the end. But I just like to say something that also the languages that I'm reading subtitles because I don't understand any South African languages other than English. And I'm reading the subtitles and I notice that there's like switches between different South African languages, and that's amazing. And I love that. But it would also be nice maybe in the future.
Did we lose Brently?
No, he's still on, Mable. He's still here.
Maybe we lost you.
I think so.
Yeah, as I was saying, maybe in the future it would be nice to maybe see an interracial couple eventually, something like that. Yeah.
Maybe next season, Sia will have a white girlfriend, Ritabile. I see Kat.
Oh, Jimmy, you will have a white girlfriend. white girlfriend. You know Jimmy, she's quite fluid in her ways. You never know.
Yeah. I see Kat has joined us. Kat, everybody's raving about the show. What does this season mean to you? I mean, it's been so exciting to just watch from our perspective. I'm wondering what it's like for you guys watching our reaction to the season.
Hey everybody, thanks for having us. It's been a bit of a technology
hey Kat, hey.
Hello, who's that? I don't know who's on here. Well, look, I think reading the responses has been like, it's overwhelming, even though this is like the second season, to think that, you know, we set out to do this thing and we set this bar for ourselves, and when it all comes to fruition, it's just like it's sometimes a bit daunting, seeing the overwhelming responses. But man, it's it's just amazing. I can't express the feeling that it brings. To see that, you know, the thing that we set out to do is actually the thing that is, it's working, you know, and people are enjoying it, and it's an amazing feeling.
Thank you, Kat. I'm wondering what's next. We've had a wedding, we've had a funeral. What's next, guys? What is the next big Black family event? I think you should tweet us, let us know what you guys think they should be doing in the next season. So, Kat, what's next?
Is our writer's room started?
This is the new writer's room, Kat.
Are you leading our writer's room? Look, I mean, the reality.
This is my audition into the writer's room. This is Trevor, okay. By the way. This is Trevor.
Trevor, so, you're going to be a writer this season.
Yes, you know I write very well. So, I'm in the Eastern Cape right now at my wife's family home. I've noticed there's a lot of mtitis. Mtiti is when a boy returns from the mountain as a man. He goes to initiation school and he comes back from the mountain as a man. And this happens in December. So How to Ruin Christmas Season 3 can be How to Ruin Christmas Foreskin Festivities.
Wow.
Okay. I knew it was coming.
Look, the reality is, you know, if people just keep streaming the show and the more people that keep streaming it, hopefully Netflix says, you know, let's do a season 3. I'd love for that decision to be decided by us, but you know, that's not how these things work. So as soon as that happens, if it ever happens, then Lelo, I think will lead you into the writer's room, seeing as you've started this conversation.
Danke. I'll be there. So I need to ask Trevor a question. Trevor, first of all, I thought you were writing your own script because Sia's character and the lines that he was saying and the wardrobe, the things he was wearing, just how much fun were you allowed to have with that character?
My directors, Kat and Reti, gave me free range, but the script was written so well that I didn't even need to differ from it much. So the script as it is was perfect, and I followed scripts as much as possible. Reti will disagree, but we don't really listen to her because Kat is the captain of the ship. And then...
Wow!
No, Kat has got a way of looking at you when you're done with the scene that is... His eyes are full of disappointment and you feel that you've done wrong. But Reti's eyes are full of... You've got potential. So you feel kind of like, you know what? It's fine. I can do better on the next take. That's
guys,
the different directing style.
Trevor's saying very seriously.
What's please the don't. Liverpool score?
I will say this about Trevor. I will say this about Trevor is that when he wore the suit at the funeral with the button, that was all him. I don't know if you've noticed that Sia has a thing that he does with his hands. So I love Trevor for bringing nuances to Sia. Like every single actor here brought stuff that was not on the page. So I do want to say big ups to them. They do. I mean, we're very strict on trying to stay on the words on the page. And it's because Lozzie and all of us like spend hours trying to, you know, come up with all the lines. But we do give them some free rein. I know Aunt Grace, when she said, Black Mamba, Dile, no, that was all Rami's doing. None of that was ours, including Desmond wanting to go drink with the Zulu men. That was him. That was all him.
Thank you. Thank you, Reti. I just want to ask if any of the cast members are in the space, because I've been trying to scroll down to find them so I can put them onto the stage. If you hear, please just request to speak on the bottom left and then we'll put you up onto the stage. Okay, Maple, I see we have some people here that want to ask questions. Maybe we can give them time and then move on to the rest of the cast.
Hey, this is Megan. I had a quick question. Can I speak?
Of course, Megan, go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah, one question I always have is, for example, there are a lot of funny moments in this series. So were there such times where the directors or the actors could, you know, could not hold or contain their laughter, due to which their schedule got disrupted? Can you mention a couple of moments like that?
Wow. I'm going to defer this. I don't have a specific moment where we laughed, but I think part of what I loved was making Grace look for scones. I think that was a lot of fun. but I don't think it's ever distracted us. I'm going to pass to the actors. Were there scenes that we ever did that was like, yo, we can't even shoot anymore? Or were we just like, shoot? These guys are professionals.
Rami? I'll come in with this one. There was the one scene where we arrive for the funeral and we're all standing in line. And I think you can actually see it if you watch attentively. Swanky and I were meant to laugh in the scene, but we were like corpsing. It wasn't pretend laugh. We were like dead.
Oh, yeah. We shot that scene over 2 days, didn't we? Now it's all coming back to me. Yeah.
Tando, was this when you were waiting for the body to arrive?
This is when we were, Swanky and I were being instructed that we were going to wash the body. And she was telling Mom Charmaine's character off, and there's the one line where she goes, "Tombstone already." And that became sort of like an inside joke of that "Tombstone already" line.
I definitely have to come in on this one. Tando, you're right. I remember that day, we just couldn't stop laughing. And I think it was so amazing just getting the opportunity, because we sort of like leave the scene at some point and we get to watch the other actors act. And I just think we just stood there just marveling at how hilarious the scene was. I think on that day, I knew it's le scene is opopa. Once. Yeah. Definitely that scene.
Awesome. Thanks. Hi. Thanks, guys. Rami? Yes, go ahead.
I'm here. Yes. Hi. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for watching the show. We had lots of fun shooting it. One of the scenes as well. Well, it made part of the whole scene. I never laugh. I don't corpse, guys. Sorry. Okay, someone is going to disagree, but I don't. But I remember everyone dying when we were singing. We sang a lot in the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was a point where so much that we had tears in our eyes, and it really looked like we are crying for Gogo, but we were on the floor, all of us, because of the singing that was happening there. Even when Namtembinya and Danny, when she did that whole ukololwami donyungala nalo 5 times, you know, at that point we were really, really laughing, and we're not supposed to laugh because we just like how the idea was to say how this my Gogo doesn't stop singing. But she was doing it so badly that we laughed. She did it. Yeah, but this we had so much fun singing.
I was laughing my
Can I tell you that Mom Tembi did not know the words to that song?
Yeah, that's how you were laughing.
So what actually happened is we had to teach her the song before we shot, because I was shocked. I was like, what do you mean? And everyone was on there, and then we had to tell her that she has to lead it. So it was very, very funny. And a tidbit was, she was only meant to like sing it twice and then, you know, stop. And then, you know, Vusi was meant to stop it, but she kept on doing it. So what you were seeing was like real. Kat and I had to be like, okay, cut, Mom, please, you just have to do it twice.
It was hilarious. I watched that scene about 5-10 times because I just loved it so much. And how Babu Twala was just, he was so frustrated. And I see Saint has joined the space, so thank you for joining. I'm going to give Vuyo an opportunity to ask a question, Vuyo Mse, and then we'll go to other speakers. Vuyo?
Hi, guys. Firstly, I'd like to say congratulations on an amazing show. I enjoyed it, just like I did the first one. You really took it up a notch this time. But my question is, the line, was it scripted? Ke batla go nwa byala le bana ba maZulu. That is probably one of my favorite lines in the show.
Yeah, but you're busy saying children instead of men.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Banna, Vuyo. It's banna, not banna. Banna is children.
It's banna. All right. Yes. Noted.
We cannot take credit for that line. That is all Desmond Dube.
Wow.
He improvised part of a line where he just was meant to say he wants to go drink. And obviously being in KZN, I think he took liberty and we just kept it. And it became a running gag.
And Rami's lying because she used to laugh all the time with scenes with Desmond. Oh, we're going to have to put the blooper reel out there because she mustn't act like she was corpsing.
Please do. Please.
Yeah, what happened when the... You saw Succulent with the shower cap. I mean, we've got evidence of all this stuff.
Please put it out.
No, we didn't expect that because we knew Succulent was there, but what we didn't expect was to see Succulent in Grace's shower cap. Okay, that was not good. Yo, we lost so much. Yeah, no. That was crazy. That was really, really crazy.
Succulent was out of the show.
Rami, while you're on the stage, I'm going to come to you now, Makambu, Abongiwe. Rami, the chemistry between you and your brother Shadrach, it was amazing. How did you guys get it so right? Did you guys have to spend time together to get it right, or you just gelled? But I love seeing the two of you together.
You know what? I think one of the best things with How to Ruin Christmas, the wedding, was that we shot it in a bubble. And being in a bubble, it meant that we got to know each other even more. I mean, I've always known Des for a couple of years, you know, we've crossed paths here and there. But being in a bubble for the first series got all of us to get to know each other inside and out. And the funny thing is that, for real, the Twalas, like, then you'll find Saint with Mutazi, with Sandile, and they'll be like, they'll have their own thing of the Twalas. On the cellulars as well, there was such great chemistry as well with Mom Clementine. Like, we were like really, really, we started behaving like siblings, and being in that space for that time helped us build to help us have the great foundation that led to season two, because by that time we really knew how to finish each other's sentences. And we'll like say, okay, this one, this is how we're gonna say it, ne? And then you must do this. And like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. But when I do this, then you must do that. And I'm so glad that it paid off. But I also think it's like the ability of just listening to one another and rubbing each other's energy off ourselves, and then just giving that positive vibes and supporting as well. One of the things that the producers got right is that they got a lot of lead actors. I think it's a bunch of lead actors playing amazing supporting roles. And when you've got people who understand that, as much as I'm a lead this time around, I'm a support, but you come with an attitude of a lead, and I think it brings more substance and more meat to what is trying to be showcased and portrayed to the audience.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Rami. Bongiwe, let's come to you, and then I'm going to hand over. I think I lost my play. My play's gone missing. Bongiwe, you have a question?
I really, Sanbonani, I wish, and it's really not a question, but thanks, Lelo, that they could keep Ithemba Lamakhumsha, the 325, for my Reddington or Trevor, because I think that's the one thing that is so, so beautiful for me in that movie, along with the fact that there's only local music that is played and local fashion. I think I've seen some of it. But also to say, Uthi Katleho, I have watched your work and it is beautiful to see you evolve into a producer and a creator. And Luena Hapele Retabile, to see that you guys are now giving even our children what we used to have growing up watching over this period. I used to watch Home Alone around this time and many other shows around this time. But finally, we have something that is authentic, that is truly South African, and that our children can look forward to watching every year. But really, no question but to just say, I am obsessed with your show, especially the theatrics, Zaga Trevor. Like, he is my Reddington G. Up and down, straight up and down, inside and out. But thanks, guys.
Thank you for that, Bongiwe. Maple?
Somebody was swallowing. Did you guys hear somebody swallowing? Or just me?
It's just you, Sandile. Let me come to you while you're on the stage. So when I watched, I noticed a bit of, well, not a bit, a lot of growth between, you know, season one, Sandile, and season two, Sandile. How did you prepare, like, for this particular season? Because I think you, like, a lot of people, like I was saying, a lot of people were having a lot of fun, but you had to cry even on the show. How was that for you?
You know, one thing that I'd like to... Hi, everybody. Hey, what's happening? Everybody good? Okay. I think the biggest thing is, I'm just so grateful that Burnt Onion put me onto this and allowed me to play with all these veteran actors. And on the show, I was the youngest one there and I had the least experience. And I think the biggest thing that I learned from being on the show is just how to play. You know, when you act, ultimately, you are playing and you're having fun as you're doing it. And if you're having fun, then everybody else will be having fun. And people watching will also be having fun in it. And just watching the veteran actors that are on the show and just learning from that. I mean, I was really watching. And I'd see how they'd play and how they'd take on their characters and how they'd really dive into them and leave their characters, their persons behind and really take part in this thing that's happening right now. You know, as a young actor, you have this thing of being, I don't want to say afraid, but you're constantly thinking and you're constantly saying, will I do this good? Will I do this great? Will I do this better? You know, that kind of thing. And because of the fact that I was with them there and they were just so, so, so generous in the way that they perform and the way that they give pointers and such, is that I learned how to really let go and really be within the situation and really be within present in the moment. With regards to the crying, I mean, it was written like that, you know, and so we had to cry, you know. But I think the biggest thing is just the present moment being in there. And Thando Tabete, she's such a brilliant actress, and she really, you know, like just playing alongside her, we were just really feeding off of each other, and I could really be comfortable in letting go and really being in the moment. And so Smooth Twala and Beauty Sillo / Twala, she, you know, they were written so beautifully that, you know, we could just let go of our own understandings and just really participate in what's happening in the situation. So as much as it was a comedy, dramedy, How to Win Christmas, the Wedding and the Funeral, I think that the biggest thing is that we were allowed to let go and let the script do the talking. And so it was very easy for us to get to those places.
Thank you, Sandile. And I hope next season, Usbu Hyman needs to stand up to his mom a bit more. The way the mother talks to Beauty.
Wait. Have you seen the mother? Have you seen the mother, though? She grabs balls. I believe, Usbu, I believe the fear in everybody's eyes in the Twala men, because she will grab your balls, okay? And she will make sure that you don't speak to her in a specific way. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
All right. Thank you, Sandile. Maple, we've got some other speakers that would like to ask questions. Are you there, Maple? You've been quiet for very long. This is unlike you. I know you love attention. Where are you? Your
he doesn't have a mic icon. He doesn't have a mic icon.
Okay, no, he's still a co-host. Okay, Maple, when you can say something, please, maybe you should leave the space and rejoin again, and then I'll trying to call me while I'm doing a space. I don't understand. So let me go to Beauty's. And I heard earlier from Ritabile that you struggled a bit, well, really struggled, but you were asking, Guti, this was supposed to be a comedy. And whenever I look at you and the shows that you do, you always cry. And I'm just like, Utando, how does the tears just come just like that? How was playing Beauty this season? Did you feel, Guti, the struggles with, you know, the loss of the baby was how was that for you just generally?
Yeah, I mean, you go into different roles, and I mean, when you shoot How to Ruin Christmas, you hope to laugh and not cry, which is why I had that chat with Ritabile saying, I thought we're shooting a comedy. But yeah, it's a loss. And I think the whole idea of this season is the fact that with tears comes laughter, and with laughter comes tears, and vice versa. And Beauty and we were going through what they were going through. Did I find it hard? Absolutely. I mean, there were some moments you want to hit, you know, all the right beats. You want to emote correctly. And there's sometimes where as an actor, you overthink it. I mean, I remember one scene with Sandile, we literally had to jump up and down the bed just to remind ourselves to be present in the moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to understand that, you know, when the emotions come, they'll come. And to trust the process and to trust what's meant to be happening. So it's not always easy. It sucks that I always have to cry. But here we are.
Thank you. Thank you, Tando. My heart hurts whenever I see you cry, because you know I got love for you. And I'm like, oh, why is she always crying? All right. I see we've got Alfie, you have a question for the guys?
Mr. TikTok. I actually don't have a question for the guys, but I want to speak of my love for Rami and me having worked with her, all right? Urami has come here and she's sold very beautiful PR about herself, you know, and how she works. So I worked with Rami on a different production elsewhere. And I'm afraid to say this, but that one day I served the team edibles, right? Edibles on set. And she decided not to have. So I gave everyone edibles and said, guys, this is going to help you guys enjoy yourselves and all that sort of stuff. And we were dead for a good 7 hours. All right. Urami is so incredible in her craft. She keeps it together. She is so strict in how she wants things done. She knows what she wants, when she wants it. And she's able to command all the different factors of the production team, whether it be set, wardrobe, whether it's this and that, she is crazy, but you will be laughing so hard. So I was like in the background, but Urami was able to command all of us. So, Rami, please don't tell people that you do not laugh on set. Please don't tell people that you are serious. Please, please, please. I have worked with you before and it's an amazing pleasure to work with you, but it's crazy. I have to go because I'll start naming things. Yo, she's crazy.
Rami, please defend yourself. Defend your honor. Rami, are you there?
I think she was disconnected.
I was disconnected, and I knew I was saying something about me. Sipo, what did you say? You said something. You probably said crazy and loud. You probably said
no.
I know. What did you say about me? I don't know. I can't believe I missed it. And something said, "Oh no, he's gonna go and he's gonna go in." Please repeat some of the things you said. I know you went in about me. What did you say?
I said the truth, right? I'm not going to say where we were, and I'm not going to say what happened. But there was that one day when I was serving edibles to the production team, all right? And all of us and all of us were gone. And you were the only person who said, no, I'm not going to have anything. Nah? But all of us were gone. But I think I was really taken aback by how professional you were. But moreover, by how you know every aspect of production. So you know what wardrobe needs to do. You know what makeup needs to do. You know what transport needs to do. You know what the catering team needs to do. You know every layer of production. And that for me was like, I was so blown away. I was just like, no, but you're just here to act, babe. Like, how do you know what everyone has to do? And that for me was so humbling. Because afterwards we had a debrief and you literally sat us down and you said, you were wrong here. This is what you had to do. You were wrong here. This is what you had to do. So, but also instead of telling us that in a very serious and very like, you know, authoritative form, you were laughing in our faces and we were all crying. So, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been an amazing pleasure to work with you.
It was amazing to work with you, man. Yeah.
Thank you, Sipho.
Thank you.
Awesome. So, Mutlatsi, I think I would like to hear from you and Saint, because I think Saint is having connectivity issues. I'm going to come to you now, Nish, after Mutlatsi. But I want to ask Mutlatsi, you twalas, I felt like the twalas were so insensitive, throwing around, ooh, baby shaka, da shaka, this shaka, this shaka, boom, boom, boom. Whereas ooh, beauty on the side is struggling with the fact that she lost her baby. Mutlatsi, are you there?
Yeah, what's up? Hi, everybody. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Look, man, I think September, I mean, he's got issues, I think, because he's the firstborn, right? And so now when Spook came through, I think the attention kind of moved away from him. And with Shaka coming into the space, so I think maybe he's trying to reclaim the being firstborn or the center of attention, you know? And it's a pity shame that Buddha lost, you know, Umduana. But I mean, it's okay. We also have gained a king here, you know. And so it was fun to play that kind of space, you know. I'm being a parent and just running away from alcohol and trying to avoid it. And in fact, substitute alcohol with this kid and the love for this king that he got, you know. But I really enjoyed being part of season one and two. You know, I just think Temba is so interesting and yeah, man, I actually loved playing with everybody. I think we had more laughs on set. Every time we're shooting, everyone was just cracking up. You know, I think I'm the most professional in the space, you know, like I'm there on time and I know all my lines and
Lies.
You can ask Katleho. He'll tell you. Katleho, tell them. I mean, he's you know.
I heard Swanky is the one who struggles with time.
My business. Please let the other actors speak.
Swanky, Barikwena, who's got issues with time?
Luka Gaidi Tabate, Livikra Gaidi Tabate. Professional.
No, guys, come on.
The streets are talking.
No, the streets must not talk. Definitely not. I think what was nice, and I don't struggle time. I think what was nice, though, is that on the set, we kept each other accountable, which was fun. Because we spent a lot of time together, specifically in like Bubble One, and we would laugh together, cry together, party together, and work together. We always knew that we had to be on time together. So if there was a day where, I don't know, Busi or Tando slept in late, it was always like a phone call away, or Mutlatsi, you know, I don't know, was just reading his script all night like he is the professional that he says he is. We would wake him up later on. So yeah, I think it was nice. So even if there was a time issue, it was always nice because there was accountability amongst the cast. But not only that, amongst the crew and the cast, because we're not just bonded as the cast, but as a crew as well. So, yeah. But whoever told me, please.
Yeah, no. Baska o sinya lebitso. Baska o sinya lebitso. Thank you, Sankey. All right, Nish, let me come to you. You've got a question for the team?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for an incredible show. I've been looking forward to the next one since the one last year. It's the best show that Netflix Local has ever given us, and keep doing it. And Burnt Onion, keep burning those onions because we love it, we love it, we love it. My big thing is, and my favorite, Batum, Minister Twala, Mr. Minister Twala. I just feel like I want to see more of his influencer career. I feel like from last year, you know, there was a little bit of a snippet of how much of an influencer he is. We need to see him unboxing. We need to see him doing it for the gram. For the next one, please, I think that he's ripe and ready to represent as the influencer. So, Mr. Twala, I don't know what's happening with your connection, but I want to hear about your plans to be the influencer of note.
He's here, and he's got a suit for the commission, and they won't let him, Smoo won't let him wear his suit.
Mr. Twala, are you able to speak to us?
He is here. Saint, unmute yourself.
Let's just hope you won't
Chief, the meeting. Oh, Chief, I'm going to put something for
you.
Chief, you see... This thing is making a Mickey Mouse out of me now because, you see, I'm not in the Twala Mansion there where the Wi-Fi is flying through the rooms. I'm in Makaya's there where the Wi-Fi is making a Mickey Mouse here for me.
All protocol observed. Did you hear the comment?
you will remember that I've already done that in season one, that as the most senior member here, you will hear from me, not the other way around. You have asked the wrong question.
Okay. Saint, I loved your scenes. I think my favorite scenes from the show are all from you and your lines. We are ministers. We don't pay taxes. The taxes pay us. What were your favorite moments from filming this season?
Hey, you know what, Ne? I looked at this and I thought that this question might come up. But hey, I had so much fun with that I don't know which one to say. I could single out one and say whatever. It was laughing. I came home with a six pack from laughing so hard for every single day that we're on set or off set. So but Okay.
Okay. I know it's a very difficult question because I also can't pick one because you had so many good scenes and lines. But I think your relationship with Usia on the show, you guys were just my favorites. And maybe Trevor can also comment about how you guys got you know all that going on. Maybe you can talk a bit about your scenes with Trevor.
You know what, Nam? Since season one, the wedding and up until, the funeral, you will remember that my relationship with Usia has always been that one in Zima. We always at each other's throats and doing whatever. But then came the one scene in the funeral where we actually came together and we're not fighting and we saw each other as men. We saw each other as people and, I think shooting that for me was quite lekker because it was also a chance. I've never seen that.
Guys, did I lose Saint or is it just, is he gone?
Oh, I thought it was my wife.
I thought it was me.
Okay. So Saint is definitely gone. Tando, while we wait for Saint, and I'm going to go to
I've added him back on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you, co-host. You see, this is why I'm going to be in the writer's room, because you're a co-host in my space.
Clearly.
Oh, he's
you ran out of funds.
He's showing me ministerial state capture flames. Yeah, man. Yeah, she is a lagazondo.
Welcome back, Saint. You want to finish off what you were saying?
Yes, I was saying that the most important, for me, I think the most nicest scene with Trevor is the one where we're standing on the balcony. And that was the first time I've ever seen Trevor serious and crying. So for me, that goes down in history as the best moment of 2021.
And they did it in one take. Can I just point it out?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. I actually had to watch that twice, the rewind, to see, is Trevor really crying? And then, of course, he still had to talk about the gold after all of that crying. That was amazing. All right, let me go to...
Sorry to interrupt. There's actually a scene that Trevor and I were talking about. The scene in the last episode where he was talking about, you know, and he was actually crying when the cameras were not on him. And
I remember that. We were all
saying, Trevor, no, don't take it there. The cameras are not on you right now. And he cried and he cried and he sat down. He's like, they're not on me? What the hell? And when we did the take again, he couldn't bring himself there. And he was like, I hate this show. I hate everybody here. He was just so pissed.
Hey. Trevor must go to Tando for crying lessons.
Oh, stupid me, man.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Let me go to, I want to give the guys, I am Khotatso. Do you want to ask a question to the guys? Khotatso? All right. I'm not sure what's happening with Khotatso. Muzi Magongo?
Kosazare, Sanbona.
Sawbona, Bab.
Gempela from season one, you know, season two, canning Shabu Kale. I was just chilling among and bummy, corner lighting, Bissa Bugele. And three parts. After Umama, Minister, Amoshe, Amakanda, Minister, Asatu Sawalungi, Salapayana, Bayawalula, Kuluku and Gelumfana. And then we say, Minister, I actually don't know. Do you know actually you are our favorite son? And then he pauses, and then thereafter he says, but don't tell your brother. Yeah, guys, can seven zile, Kubegani, Sinani, Sanesega, Tulena, yes, South Africa. I have relatives as Kawini and Bangini, so yeah, I'm both sides.
Okay, thank you so much, Muzi, for that. Let me go to CEO Toz. Hi, CEO Toz. I don't know if that's your name. No? Okay, I'm going to remove you from the speakers then. Tando, let me come to you. I have a question about... like you doing comedy, this is comedy, and then there are other genres. Just like, what's your preference in terms of, you know, the kind of stuff that you enjoy working on? Or are you like, I can do whatever, just give me a script and I'll do it?
I mean, yeah, for me, is if a character resonates with me, then I'm happy to do it. But I mean, with How to Ruin Christmas, it's sort of a mixture of both. Beauty was dealing with miscarriage, which is a reality for a lot of women. Throughout the series, and as much as it's comedy, she's playing the comedy, but underneath all of that is darkness. So it's what I think makes the story so true. And I think it was important that Sandile and I are honest to that, because it's a reality for a lot of people. But in terms of characters that I choose, it's whatever resonates with me and whatever seems truthful.
Love that. Thank you. Khutato, do you have a question?
Dumela le kai. Sorry, man. Neki lutwa ke space, man, earlier. Data if it's a fail, I'm like, how? Aubato, really? good afternoon. Good evening, actually. I hope you guys are having a good time to all the speakers and to all the listeners. And thank you to the host and co-host for hosting such an interesting space. You know, I loved the first show. Oh my goodness. I've not watched the second show yet, but I'm sure if it is something as the first one, I'm going to definitely enjoy it. For me, what got me or what actually just because I was watching the show with family, right? And we're busy watching and then, Shumo to Butimoto are come in and then this guy would never disappear. I'm looking around, I'm looking at my sister, I'm looking at myself, I'm looking at my other sister, grow. I was more hectic. The situation is so, but it happened. This guy would not jiga komunyako. I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. I have no words but to say I can't wait to watch the next one.
Thank you.
It was beautiful.
Thank you so much, Khotato.
Truly, 100% Mzansi content. And thank you very much. I'm lost for words. And thank you again for this opportunity. It's not often that you come and actually get a chance to speak to, you know, people who create such beautiful content. And thank you to Twitter Spaces for giving us this wonderful opportunity. Thank you, guys. Keep on doing the great work. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
You're welcome, Khotato.
And go watch season 2.
Can't he hasn't watched Joe? So, Kat and Ritabile, just one other question about there was. I almost felt like actually this is true for all the Netflix shows that are, you know, South African. I kind of feel like there's a conscious decision to showcase a bit of South Africa in the shows. Is that a deliberate thing? Because I love, like, you know, how you guys are showcasing the ocean and Durban and Joburg. Is there a conscious decision to say we're gonna be through these shows?
Well, I think, I mean, it's the whole point of the show is to show Christmas in South Africa, so we have to show South Africa. And the first season, we all saw how we showcased, like, the West Cliff. It was mostly a Johannesburg-based story, mostly also because we shot during, like, when we were in level 4 of COVID last year. So we had to keep it quite contained. We were very excited for season 2, the funeral, because we knew we were going to be able to, you know, go out there a little bit, and we get to go home, to Gogtwala's home. And I think it was important to show you the aspects of the Twalas, which is their beach house, but then to still go to the rural areas, but the rural area still represented what home is. I remember when we first showed season 1, when season 1 came out, there was a comment on Twitter that someone was like, how guys, a South African, how guys, but is this really Johannesburg? And then, you know, I was like, what does this mean? And it's like, I've never seen Johannesburg like this. And I think that's the beauty of being able to tell these kind of stories, is because we get to show the full beauty of what this place is like and the different spaces that we're in. That was my first time in Inanda when we shot there. And I was like, this is crazy. I've didn't even know you could get a house like this in Inanda. And that's, for me, is important then to show the rest of the world and the rest of South Africa. We take for granted that we don't even get to travel our own country. So just to be able to show that off is really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Refilwe Ramukhase, I know you have a question before I move on to Lwazi. Lwazi is one of the writers on the show. Refilwe?
Yeah. First things first, I think it's just worth congratulating, I would say, everybody involved in this, from the writing team to the actors and actresses to the production company, for what I truly believe is possibly the best single show I've watched that has come out of the country. So congratulations to you all. It is hugely enjoyable, and it's not often that you come across a season 2 that actually possibly surpasses a season 1. So in and of itself, that is a huge feat. Yeah, man. I just wanted to ask something which made me kind of laugh, right? Like, Richard Mkize, out of curiosity, from the writing room, who is the inspiration for all of this flowery language? Is that Steve Compella? Just curious.
Lwazi, I think you should take this one.
See, now things are going to get interesting. The inspiration was our producer saying he must speak in Proverbs, and then writers being like, what? That was the inspiration for everything. And it was really us sitting in the room thinking of things that make absolutely no sense. But if you think about it really hard, it makes a lot of sense. And so that was really what it was. It wasn't really based on anyone real. It was based on just trying to give this character his own voice and his own vibe, and making him, you know, I mean, this is the man who got Gogo. That's not a regular schmegular man. So just to make him really memorable and interesting as an addition to the cast.
He made zero sense, but we loved everything he said.
I take umbrage on behalf of him for on that.
Perfect sense.
Yeah,
maybe we should release Babu Mkize dictionary, Lwazi and Reti.
I think so.
You can understand. but everything that he said was said with intention, and we spent a lot of time trying to come up with those idioms. So as much as it seems like it doesn't make sense, it actually does.
I just want to step in here as well, and I think Busi is actually in the space, our infamous Dumi. Yeah, just wanted to say shout out. I think she joined.
Please, Abusi, please request to speak. There's a mic on the bottom left. You just click on it and it will send me a request. I need to hear from you because you were like, yo, okay, Busi needs to come on. Busi, please request to speak. We need to have you onto the stage. All right. I think we've got Simpiwe. Sim Matibela, do you have a question for the team? Simpiwe? Okay. Let me come to a Red Rose.
Thank you. Evening, everyone. My question is for Tando. I just wanted to find out, what did you do to prepare, you know, for the whole storyline of Beauty having a miscarriage? I know it wasn't really like, they didn't go into depth about it, but you gave us enough for us to kind of be like, to kind of be happy with, okay, we understand what happened and all that, but what did you do to prepare for that? And by the way, I love your acting. You are like amazing. Just saying.
Oh, thank you. I think what was really beautiful with this season is we all got to really know our characters. And I think with the season, we proper dived into what's actually happening in our individual characters' lives. Even though, again, I'll say on the surface, it looks like comedy, but what's actually happening is actually a lot of drama in these people's lives. One is literally being chased by the Hawks. The other one is dead. The other one has got love problems. She's actually probably has an issue with loving herself, that being Dumi. Smoo's going through a miscarriage. Mutlatsi's character is a recovering alcoholic. So I think on the base of what our characters are created of, it's all drama. And having known our characters from season one, I think is what helped us bring life to this season. So what I did is just be present. And I think I learned a lot from that in this season, just not overthinking it and just being Beauty. And I think in the first season, she seemed very frivolous, but there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of pain that she carries. And you see that come through, I think, in season two.
Thank you.
Thank you, Red Rose, for your question. While I add the next speaker, guys, I'm so sorry. I've lost my co-host, Maple. I have no idea what happened, but he's struggling to rejoin. Busi, if you are in the space, I can't see you, but Kat, if you do see her, please try add her on as a speaker so we can bring her onto the stage. I would love to hear from Busi. Lwazi, I need to find out from the writers, like, which characters did you guys have the most fun writing lines for? I've already mentioned Uguti Uvusi. Vustwala, Siatwala, I, yeah. And Grace and Desmond, like, they were, like, amazing. What characters did you guys have the most fun with?
You know, it sounds how it sounds, but honestly, I think all of the characters have such different things about them that make them funny, that it makes writing for all of them and really enjoyable, because they all have things about them that are just very, very different. Like, personally, which he's a complete opposite to me, but I love writing for the minister. Like, all of his, like, double speak and all of the comrade stuff, but he's, like, also just trying to keep the thing together at the same time. Like, that's really funny. Dumi, we just love. I mean, I know people are like, oh, someone wrote, oh, the show just started. Dumi's already sworn. Amazing. And just getting to, like, have Dumi say things and just do things that are not, you know, typical of how specifically Black women, I think, all over the world are depicted on screen. Just someone who is chaotic and just is who she is, but has a big heart and tries, and sometimes she fails and sometimes she succeeds. Like, we really, really love that about her. So, like, all the characters, even, you know, with her mom and everything else, with Dini, you know, the things that she says to her daughter and how, you know, she tries to bring God into everything. Like, all of it's a lot of fun, and all we can hope is that we pass it on to the actors and they have just as much fun with it, which it looks like they did. So all of them just are so different from each other that it's so much fun writing for all of them, because we can say the things that we can't say in real life, we can say them through the characters, which is great.
Yeah, you guys had so much fun writing that script, we can tell. Saint, did you have a specific minister in mind when you were doing your acting for this particular show or not? Because someone sent me a message saying Izimbalula.
Silence.
He cannot.
The mic is off. It's because you're being controversial, Lelu. You're being controversial.
Okay, maybe you guys can tell me. Okay, there he is requesting again.
No, there he is.
All right. Lucia, while we wait for Saint, Lucia, you have a question?
Hi, everyone. So I don't necessarily have maybe now I have one question, but I just wanted to firstly say well done to everyone. I think it was a beautiful, beautiful,
Not sure, but I heard something about Mbaks there. So Minister Twala in my mind, Minister Twala in my mind is a collection of Mbaks, Gwede, Tigaba, all rolled in one.
Okay. I would just like to add the views expressed by the actor are not necessarily the views of the producers.
No, this is all in my mind. Yeah. Let me put a disclaimer also.
Thank you. At least you have an idea of what you put together.
Yes, and then I think it begins really with yes, we give a lot of credit to the actors, but I think, you know, also being a writer, hint, Reti, remember I told you, also being a writer, I know how difficult it is to come up with stuff and make it make sense, make it be funny. And also just like, I mean, you know, hey, people suffer for lines. And I think the team have bent onion, Wulo Azikaufela and everybody that's involved, Reti, everybody. I think, guys, you are kudos to all of you for giving us a Bible to work from. I think... you know, there are a lot of not so good scripts that actors can maybe bring to life. But when a script is like so well written, it really, really does make it much easier for you as an actor to put your best and try and make and bring this thing alive, you know. So, yeah, kudos to all of you. I'm super proud of the Rama Pakelas. I'm super proud of Aubatung, Netflix, Siyabonga, Siyabatung. Look at us. We are in.
We are in. Sorry, finish.
I think he was going to say we're in space.
To touch base.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I think from, yeah, he's muted. Maybe he must unmute himself to continue speaking. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, thank you, Rama Pakela. I think you guys did a thing. Saint, are you still here? Unmute yourself, because I wanted to say to you,
yes, ma'am.
This is not about how to ruin Christmas,
yeah,
but thank you for beating up Ukhele on the other show as well.
Hallelujah. What a pleasure that was.
Wrong space, Lelo.
Wrong my Twitter space.
Excuse me. I mean, hello. Hello.
Lelo, you're fumbling the bag, babe. Fumbling the bag.
Okay. Let me give Lucia, one of the speakers, an opportunity to ask a question before I fumble the bag. Lucia?
Cool. Thanks, Lemo. Thanks. So I was just saying that, firstly, I want to say congratulations to everybody. I think it was a beautiful story, that you brought to our homes. I mean, it's not every time where you look at a South African story. And I was so frustrated, I have to say, last year where I was watching this and it was 3 episodes and I was like, how can they give us just 3 episodes? That doesn't make sense. And then I was literally looking forward to watching it again, this year. And I was like, why 4 episodes again? But I have to say, I mean, each episode comes with its own emotions, with its own laughter, which is, and it's just beautifully written, and it's funny, right? It's fun to watch. And I mean, I even converted my partner. I mean, he didn't watch the first season, and I was like, we're watching season 2, and we had to start all over again and watch season 1 first. Then he was hooked by the time we got to season 2, and he was like, yeah, I love this guy. And I just want to say to Trevor Gumbi, there's a part where he comes home to fetch Gore Spirit and he has the twig. I don't know how many times you repeated this part where his brother like hits, I think it's Saint who hits his hand, and then the twig falls away and Trevor is like, Ma! And like, and like stares at this twig, and we are all laughing, and it's just a repeat of that one particular scene. I mean, there's tons of others that I can go through, but I think maybe this question is, I don't know if it's to the writers or whoever in the cast that gets that can answer this, but the one thing that's maybe driving us a little bit mad in my household is, why did Gogo die in the car? Why couldn't she at least walk in the house and then have one final moment with everybody and tell the family how Dumi gave her the best moments of her life and then die? Like, I feel like that moment, like the family.
Lucia, yes? How are we going to have a second season? How are we going to have a second season?
Now all episodes are finished.
Like,
in one episode.
It's over. Like, now you just, like, first scene, you just, like, killed the whole show.
It yeah,
but... the car for Dumi to be in trouble.
For Dumi to be in trouble, okay, I guess so. But for me, it was like, no, everybody didn't get their last moment, and then she just died. And I think that for me was just bothering us. But I get it; it's about Dumi being in trouble. So yeah, I'll let it go.
There would be no show. There would be no show if she died in the house.
No, I'm saying she could have still went and did her thing and then died at home versus like her dying in the car, but nonetheless I'll let it go. Cool, thanks.
I'm a pantula, die in cars. She's a pantula for life, so she dies in cars.
I guess so. Cool.
All right, thank you
for the opportunity. Cheers.
You're welcome. Lerato, let's come to you.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you to Miss Lelo for organizing this space, and thank you to everyone who's here. I actually thought Lelo was just doing this, you know, but I'm actually pleasantly surprised to see some of the cast members and the writers as well. First of all, let me just say thank you so much for creating a piece that, in terms of proximity, you know, it just takes 100%, you know, having to watch a Christmas production that is so close to proximity in terms of South Africa, our, you know, our everyday lives and all of that. So that's really amazing. Because I mean, growing up, we watch Christmas, movies and all, and most of them were really far removed. You know, it was about the snow and this and that and that. So to have How to Ruin Christmas, be, a story that really resonates so strongly with almost every South African, the jokes, you know, the issues, the family dynamics, the drama, everything. So for me, I feel like it was beautifully written and so immaculately executed by the cast. Very, 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 very wonderful production. I enjoyed the first season last year, and I really, it was one of those that I said when my niece came back from varsity and I had other nephews and so on during the holidays, we just all used that to spend quality time together and watch together, and we laughed and, you know, and we could see some of our family members through the cast members, you know, and that's what I love about How to Ruin Christmas, is that you could virtually see some people that you know, or even yourself from the cast members. I saw a bit of myself from Dumi as well. Where is she? Why is she not here? I used to be a Dumi, but I've since repented. Praise the Lord. But anyway, guys, I don't want to go on and on and on, but I just want to say it's really wonderful where we are currently in terms of how we're telling our stories as South African. So authentic and so relatable. And I feel like this is it, you know. And I know that you guys work very hard to make it look this simple, and I don't want to take that for granted. However, I'm just saying, to have stories that really look so natural and resonate so easily with us South Africans, and still have people outside of South Africa, by the way, because when I was in Accra, the same thing, though, when I was with my colleagues, they enjoyed watching, and it was nice to also, in a way, school them about some of the cultural background that was informed by some of the scenes that took place within the film. So I think it's really a very, very phenomenal piece. So well done to the writers, and also well done to the actors. And I wish to see more seasons. I wish Netflix and, you know, does this, it becomes, you know, a Christmas thing almost annually. Let's not run out of it. If not, then we create another thing, like a similar one. Have holiday stories and all manner of other stories. And I think what I also like about it is the balance, you know. It doesn't narrate, it doesn't bring out or highlight the narration of Africa or South Africa, and, you know, with just the negative and soppy narrative that's usually preconceived on the global platforms, you know. It brings out about a story of a very evolved African, you know, some of the issues that the characters are facing in the film are not necessarily where we've been around the fireplace, in the bushes, having wild animals as pets. It's not coming to America vibes. I'm sorry for mentioning that, but definitely I just had not. so that I should just land, you know. I just appreciate how it's bringing out something very refreshing for the global audience as well. In a way, I know that some of the people that are outside of South Africa are beginning to actually see us or view us in a different way because of such productions. So kudos to Netflix and all these other platforms for making sure that we've got such productions available. I'm not against the old folk stories, by the way. They are still part of us. Oh, sorry. Get round up. I'm not against that, but I appreciate the fact that at least Honale lead these new parts that represent, you know, generation. Sorry, Lelo, ask us everyone. Verbal diarrhea. Bye.
You are having too much fun. You are having too much fun. But thank you, girl. Thank you so, so much for your contribution. And we're so glad that you love the... Oh, look at me saying we as if I'm part of the show. I'm not part of the show, guys. Like, I'm not even being paid for this space. So anyway, let me go to Lindy Way. I know Lindy Way has a question. But before Lindy Way, while Lindy Way prepares for herself... Is Swanky still here? Yes, she is still here. Swanky, you were acting alongside Charmaine. I regard Charmaine as one of the veterans of this industry. How was that like? What was that like?
That experience was beautiful, Lelo. It was literally amazing. I think Sandile touched on it earlier when he had said that it was so nice to get on set and just watch the veterans work. I think as young actors in the industry, and I consider myself a young actor in the industry, it's always important to look at those that have been doing it longer than you. And Charmaine has definitely been doing it longer than me. So acting alongside her was like being in school. And acting alongside the other veterans was literally like being in school. And the nice thing about the older actors in the veterans in the show is that they always come to me and go, Charmaine always come to me and say, Tanam, sizawuthini ngoku, sizawuthini. And I'd be like, oh, Shamza, I don't know. And she'd be like, Sibani wari, sizawubona. And what that did is it just made me comfortable to play. So yeah, just in short, it was amazing. I'd do it over and over again.
Love it. Thank you so much. And I think Saint had the best time working alongside Charmaine as well. I'm going to give Lindy an opportunity to ask a question. Hi, Lindy.
Hi, I'm calling from Berlin. Thank you so much for this Twitter space. It's been so entertaining and it's so wonderful that we get to actually celebrate and actually talk about the show, because it's such a authentically South African comedy. And, you know, as a writer, I can just say kudos to the writing team as well. Tando, you know, I love you and adore you. My question is to, sorry?
I was saying I love you too.
My question is to the writers, anything that you wrote in the script that changed on set that you were just like, uh-oh, we have to do a big shift here. And if there wasn't anything that you can think of, can you give some advice for up-and-coming TV writers? Because TV is a different beast. Again, thank you. Congratulations to the cast, crew, and creators.
Thank you so much, Lindy. I suppose the biggest kind of changes came with the fact that we had lockdown happen while we were shooting. I think it was our third wave. So a lot of the locations that we wanted to shoot a lot of the scenes in, we had to adapt and change. We wanted to shoot on the pier in Durban, but we weren't really allowed to be in those spaces. So like Kaya and Dumi's breakup ends up happening right on the beach, which wasn't something we planned, but actually worked out better than I think what was on the page. I think in terms of TV writing, it's a collaborative effort. We sit in rooms for hours upon hours going through those episodes. I mean, our process is generally we beat out the episode together. Then the writer goes off to go write it out. And then we come back into a room and we essentially just gag polish and we come up with all the lines that each of these characters do. It's exhausting, I must say. It goes on. It's like every episode takes about a day to sort of beat out and get to a really, really great place. But there wasn't anything major or big that we had to change this season, thank goodness. And I suppose we get very strict with the words on the page and the script. Johnny Babuzano is our head director, basically, for the show. And we're always behind his back saying, make sure everyone says the words. And, you know, once that happens, then the magic really comes and then people can play. But thank you so much for your kind words.
I mean, just to add to that, I think there was a lot of shift that we actually needed to make because, you know, we were navigating this whole COVID situation, right? So that actually had an impact even in our story. Some of the actors here caught. It's no longer a taboo, so I guess we could speak about, you know, you catch COVID. And because everybody's here, you survive. I see Tando's putting a hand up. Because everybody's here and they survived, and you've got to be grateful for all that. But what it meant is that we had to pivot with the script. So we had the core script, and then we had these production issues. So you have situations like, Fun fact, Trevor Gumby is not actually in the scene where Gogo Twala's body is being cremated. That had to be done in post-production because he was off set and couldn't shoot for that part. And the other sort of characters that we had to write out of scenes or kind of like pivot the script in order to still make it work that you guys will never notice because we had such a great, you know, production team and post-production team to make things work. And we were obviously just having to write on the fly, myself and Reti at points, because, you know, because we had to navigate around this thing that we still don't understand today. So I think those were the biggest challenges. But other than that, yeah, as Rutabile said, like most of the things were on script. I don't know if the actors want to say something to that.
Yeah, Tando.
Yeah, I mean, I was very nervous watching the very first time because I could actually place where we were. So like, sometimes I'm like, oh, we weren't there. And then I had to rewatch to say, okay, as a viewer, it's something you would never, ever notice. But a few of us did get COVID to a point where everyone left us. and we were still stuck in Durban.
Oh, my God.
And
then, oh, my God.
Yeah, so Sandy and I were stuck. Saint, I think, was also there. And then everybody came back and we reshot some of the stuff that we did. But it's beautiful that you actually can't see that watching. But there's some scenes where you think we're in Durban, but we're actually in Joburg.
Yeah.
Wait, Tando, so you and Sandile, because you were kissing, caught COVID somewhere along shooting?
No, so I got COVID in the scene with Papa, where Papa was arriving in KZN. I'm pretty sure that's where I got it from. And then I imagine I probably kissed Sandile and gave it to him. Yes.
Yo, and the juice?
Right, yeah,
Razi?
This is nowhere near as juicy.
I don't regret it. It was,
wow.
Wow. Luazi?
Well, after that, and I'm going to come and be boring, I just wanted to say in terms of like advice, if anyone is interested in terms of young writers, I would just say two things. Number one, apply for anything and everything, whether it's an internship, whether it's a writing program, whether it's a workshop, whatever it is, apply. I started off doing Lokshin Baiskop and Kat was my head writer. And he brought me onto my perfect family, and here we are now. So I think a lot of people I went to school with were like, that job isn't good enough for me, or that isn't enough money for me, whatever else. But I didn't know where I was going to get work from. So I just, what's a non-swear word way to say this? Took myself everywhere. I hoard myself out everywhere, basically. But it gave me experience. And the second thing I would say is like, you know, learn from your head writers. I learned a lot from just like notes and everything else. Sometimes as writers, we take things very personally and it's very, very hard, but that is how you learn to be better. And so when you get critique or you get notes or you get anything like that, don't let that be something that like breaks you, but rather as an opportunity to be stronger as a writer. That's all.
Ah, Luazi, thank you. That is amazing. And everybody follow Luazi Mvusi at Luazi Mvusi and ask all questions about taking your writing career to the next level. Rami, before I go to Carol to ask Carol, Mohlala Carol a question, please recover recipe at the scones.
Okay. Is everybody writing down?
Yes. I have my pen ready.
No! No! Guys, no, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
I think,
but I will send it to you.
We need to talk about how we had to reshoot the scene with the scones, with the making the scones.
Yes, yes. Because the first time we didn't do it right, and then we needed to redo it because you need to kind of like put the weed, the oil first, like it must like be nicely fermented, then the flavors come out, you know, through the oils and all of that, before you actually put it into the main scone mixture. But the funny thing with what Tando was saying, that, you know, because we were the ones acting, you could tell that, okay, now this time we're in Joburg, this time we're in Durban. We shot the first bit of the scones making in Joburg, then the second bit of it in Durban, but it's all in one scene. And because of the hard work, because of the beautiful direction from Rainty Cat and obviously Joni, they just made it look flawless, you know? And yeah. And I remember having a conversation with Tando about, like, oh my God, I know where we are. I don't know. Let's watch it again as an audience. And that's what she was talking about.
But Rami, can I just ask who corrected how the weed should be, in what order it should be made in?
It was Rainty.
Wow. Can I just say something? The script was very clear of what needed to happen. So that's why it needed to be corrected. Us writers worked really hard to say the order of things. And then that's why we had to reshoot.
I remember the way you explained it to me. You were like, no, the last time when I did it, this is what I did. You know, so I think you are telling a big... you're telling a truthlet.
A truthlet. The views expressed by the actors are not the views and the experiences of the creators. I just like
this space is being recorded.
How did Rami play that character so well? How did she play that character so well? How did you play Hai that well?
She was perfect. She was perfect.
So how?
What Rami, happened? Tell us.
Where did you get the inspiration?
Rami, the whole world is waiting for this answer. What inspired you? Where did you draw your inspiration from to be high?
Also, I feel like Sandile is like putting a trap for me. For someone who just had lunch at my house an hour ago, you shouldn't be saying anything.
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry, guys. Exactly. I don't know what she's talking about.
Okay, thank you, guys. I have to, before you guys start dropping off, because I only booked you for an hour and a half. I have to go to Carol. Carol has a question for you guys. Hey, Carol.
Hi, guys. Actually, I don't have a question. I just want to say a little bit with the characters and the entire TV show. Oh my God. Bent Union Production has done the most massive TV show I've ever seen in South Africa. I mean, going down to the main characters, they're so talented. Big up for embracing our culture and showing the entire world what we're made of as South Africans. The main characters, Boosie, Vincent, Tando, and all the cast, thank you, guys. Celebrate Black excellence. Well done to the production. And we hope for more, you know. We hope for season 3. And I also like to thank Netflix for, you know, for making sure that the TV show, it's there for us to watch it. You know, I couldn't wait to watch season 2. And the writers, wow, you guys are awesome. I don't want to lie and compare you guys with other writers, but you have done the most. Thank you for embracing our culture as South Africans. Thank you, guys, and keep up the good work. We hope for season 3, guys. We cannot wait. I've finished watching the entire season 2, and I hope to get more of you guys. Tando, you the best. Same as your sister as a character. Thank you guys so much. And everyone, the cast and everyone, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carol, for that. I think the team appreciates the feedback. Retablo, did you want to say something to Carol? Are you all good?
Good job. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. It's really surprising. I mean, when we made the show, we were like, we hope people like it. And to hear the response that we get from everyone, it's I know Kat's in it, but it still shocks us till this day. We were like, what? Okay, yeah, so thank you, everyone. And I'm so glad that it hits home.
Awesome. All right, let me go to Lego. Lego, do you have a question for the guys? Lego.
Lego's quickly building something.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, let me come to Sandile. Let me ask you a question. If the question is, what did you learn? Or maybe this is for you and Motlatsi, actually, because you guys, the question is, what did you learn from filming this season? And also, guys, there's something about this show where everybody feels like it's a movie. It feels like it's a movie, but it's actually not a movie. It's a series. What is that about? So the question is, what did you learn from filming this show that you will take to your other projects? So I'm going to ask this to Sandile and then Motlatsi as well.
Well, to take it quick, I feel like I already answered it with the previous question, in the sense that a lot of it has to, it boils down to playing. That's the thing that I was talking about, is that, you know, you learn how, you watch these veterans play, and you really see how they let their inner child go as soon as they step into character. Even when they're in the green room, they're still just so funny. Everybody's just shits and giggles the entire time. And you'd expect them not to be that way because of how much experience they have. And that's the one thing that I did. You know, I take acting as something serious, like something, this is my job. I need to be serious and I need to be great at it. But as soon as I saw them on set, I just saw something so different, such a different perspective that, you know, you need to just always be having fun. And I think that's one thing that I always take to my next jobs and so on and so forth. Just have fun with what you're doing, and ultimately, you know, you'll take it there. You'll go there. Don't overthink the things that you think you, because we're always constantly overthinking. But don't overthink it. Just be present and just really enjoy it. And I think the presence is what I'll take to my next gig as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Motlatsi.
You know what? I think teamwork makes dream work. You know, there's nothing that can go wrong when you get the best in the game. And I think Burnt Onion did exactly that. You know, from all the departments, I know we talk about the writers, they are very incredible, they're amazing. But all the other disciplines also, like, they come through. They pull their best foot, they put their best foot forward. You know, so I think that's what I take, that let's give it our all, whatever that we do, whatever that you do, just give it your all, and the world is watching. I mean, I think this is a testament to that. If you work hard and you just have fun at work and you enjoy what you do, magic will happen.
Thank you so much, Motlatsi. I see Mable is back as that guy again. Mable, welcome back. I do not know what happened to you.
He was changing his profile picture.
Because the co-host is about to log off. So I'm thanking my player for coming back. I can't see him. But just to speak to the thing you mentioned about the series, people thinking it's a movie, which is crazy, because we do get a lot of people thinking it is a film. And I suppose it's an event series, right? And the thing that people always ask about, you know, why is it like 3 episodes? Why is it 4 episodes? It actually can't be more. The story is told within the confines of what the story is meant to be. And I think that's what some people take away from that, is like, because it seems so short, it's not the normal 6, 8, or 13 part series, it feels like a movie, which is actually what we also want to achieve. It's a limited series. It's a, you know, it happens once a year. Hopefully Netflix is listening and can make it happen more years, as everybody keeps saying. But it's crazy for us because it is meant to be a series. It happens over a couple of episodes. And I think that is testament to the entire team, you know, from behind the scenes, in front of the cameras, the actors that you have here, the set designers, the costume, you know, it feels like a long movie, a long, good movie, which, you know, is just testament to everybody's great work. But having said yes, who's that? Who's that?
No, Katlego, I want to know, as an actor, why are you not in it?
I was in the first season, so I can't be in the second season again. I had a very small, very tiny, tiny, tiny role.
You're an extra, come on. No,
you pay yourself for that extra. Did you pay yourself for that role?
Did you want that character to have growth over the...
No, I'm just thinking, why are you Quentin Tarantino-ing yourself? Instead, like, you're a good actor, you are known, you could have added value to the series. Why did you choose to put yourself outside?
Well, look at all these amazing actors that you have on this Twitter space. I don't think, like, you know, the other thing is every character has their purpose. You know, when we started writing the series, it was actually, you know, when myself and Jatavile were back and forthing about the idea, it was actually an idea for a film before we pitched it to Netflix. And there were a whole lot more characters in the original concept that we have about this Christmas wedding. And then we had to just cut them down because some of them just didn't make sense. So it's got to serve the story. There's no part I could have played in this series. And if you look at all the characters that are
such humility, Mr. Director. I love it. You know, it's like you're stepping into the fact that now I'm a director. I'm above this. I'm Quentin Tarantino. I'm not absolutely going to be going through not makeup.
Look, I still love acting. You know, it's what got me into this industry. So I'll never, you know, whenever I get the opportunity, I will grab it. So even playing like the so-called extra, to me, it's fun. It's fulfilling. So I'll never not love acting. However, you know, yes, you know, there's certain times where you can and can't put yourself in the situation, and you have to find the best people for those characters that you've created. And I think we did just that. I'd like to believe we did just that.
No, but, definitely. You
I'm going to use that as a sign off because I do have to bounce.
Okay, thank cool. you.
Thank you, Lelu. Thank you, Mable.
Thank you, Kat. You've been amazing. We appreciate you joining the space. Thank you. And anybody who needs to drop off, we do understand, but we would love for you to stay because we haven't been able to get everybody to ask questions. Mable, welcome back. Rami?
I just quickly wanted to say, well, I hope Kat is still listening. That, oh, he's gone. But I know Rich is still here. One of the best things that I loved about season two as well, it is the cameo roles. Coconut Claus was amazing. Darlington Michaels at the end, he was amazing. Like everybody, it doesn't matter how many little lines or how small the part was, they all packed a punch. And it was so beautiful to see, like as an audience, seeing some of the bits that we haven't seen, that we were seeing it for the first time as well with everybody. I was so pleasantly surprised, and they really, really nailed it. So that's one of the things that Burnt Union does so well, that Burnt Union does so well, that they actually are able to
Rami.
To nail even the smallest, the small parts. Love that a lot.
I just want to ask, guys, I've missed so much of the space, because my co-host, can't work out spaces. Hey, guys, yeah, she can't work out spaces. So I had to create a burner account in order to come back here. Don't follow this burner account that I'm in. It's still my player, guys. Go follow that account if you like what I'm saying on the space. I just want to ask, the actors that are here, do you feel that you were cast into the right family? Like, I'll start with you, Thando. Do you feel that you were cast into the right family? Would you have liked to be a Twala from the very beginning? Actually, you crossed over. Like, I want to ask, I'll go through all of you one by one. Do you feel that you were cast into the right family?
I think Beauty was cast in the right family. I think the whole premise of Beauty's character is her trying to be the perfect one in an imperfect family, which then makes sense why she would marry into what she sees firstly herself as and what she wished her family was. So I think if she was born into the Twalas, she wouldn't be Beauty.
Okay. Rami, no, I don't even have to ask you, Rami. You were in the perfect family. You guys went to Durban in a Hilux. Like, nobody does that. Like, so... Like, yeah. Wait, Rami, do you want to respond to that?
Definitely. It was the perfect family. I loved my siblings, loved Shadrach. Yeah, definitely perfect. And okay. No, we're not poor. We're like upper middle class. The
no, you were just poor. No, you were poor. You just now it's just that Usisi just came into some money. You guys were poor.
Mable, can I just have a new wig. Yeah, your wig was beautiful, by the way, Auntie Grace. Mable, can I just say thank you to the writers for giving Udineo some, you know, she got some action in this season. I'm so grateful. Like,
no, but nobody wanted to see that. No, listen, we know that old people do engage in certain activities, but I didn't want to see Udineo actually doing it. Like, for me, Luazi, I don't know what fantasies you engage in. You're still in the space. We did not need to see that, Luazi.
Mature people deserve love too.
No, and I guys, know that.
Thank you. Actually said this in the room because I was also like, no, guys, what are we doing? And then she said,
I said, mature people. No. They deserve romance, even if it's doomed.
No, but listen. Okay, Rita, Billy, you can go.
Yeah, the funniest thing is, so we discussed this. We're like, oh no, we should show older characters having their kind of thing and their romance. I mean, in the end, in Ep 4, you see Valencia and Vusi kind of rush to the bed, about to also do their thing before they're interrupted by Spoo. But I do remember when we came to writing the scene, which was in Lazi's episode, I was like, but this girl is holding back. Where's the romance? Where's the sex? I was like, where's the sex? If you want them to have love, where's the sex? But she's still kept it classy.
No, nobody. Listen, I'm not an ageist. I'm not an ageist, and I want to say this. I understand that you need to get your groove on no matter at which age Stella is at. But I'm saying that certain things, you know, somebody in their youth, we want to see that. We want to indulge in that. But we could have just made that one very, you know, put it on the side and just, you know, just package it. Like when I saw them in bed together, I was uncomfortable because I just thought of my parents in bed together. I don't know. Maybe those are the things that I need to maybe seek therapy for. But anyway, Mutlaki.
Mable. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I just want to highlight, you know, one of the things that I loved about the show, it was just how very South African it was. The discussion around the funeral expenses. I really enjoyed that. The washing of the body. But also, guys, Rutabile, I have an issue with you guys making an old lady like Uma Nandinyembe, you know, sitting there in the, that whole body washing. Was crazy. Okay, so that whole washing of the body at the mortuary thing, and I enjoyed the chicken wings for Dumi, Kaya getting chicken wings for Dumi for the hangover, the Bori arriving La Payana with the hash, and I loved those moments. I just wanted to say those are the things that I enjoy the most.
I think Tando should tell the story about what was shooting that mortuary scene like with Mom Nandi. And how she had to lie on the table.
Yo, Tando.
I think Tando is a bit
good. Thank you. You're also in the scene.
Wow. Okay. No, that scene was hectic. I'm not gonna lie. It was. But yo, Mom Nandi handled it like a trooper. As the true actor that she is. It was hectic. It was cold. We were freezing, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Reti. You're gonna have to take over this. I don't know.
I'm sorry, guys. Freezing? Are we talking about the morgue scene?
Yes.
Oh, that was. Swanky, why aren't you telling the truth? You remember
very clearly. No, Tando Kuluma.
Okay, so respectfully, Mam Nandi obviously had to basically be half naked, but she was like very game. She was like, to a point where we all had to cover her up half the time. And she was just like, no, let me be. So she made it very easy for all of us.
I think she is literally like Gog Twala inside. We were all trying to be respectful. We're like, no, mom, we can get you this. Wardrobe can get you. She's like, no, it's my body. Let's shoot the scene.
And that's just the magic of these wonderful actors that we have on the show that are willing to commit.
I want to know, were you guys in an actual mall? In an actual morgue?
No, we were in a restaurant kitchen.
Wow!
Okay, wait. So the scene that happens where, this is my favorite scene, by the way, when Utumi is trying to delay the process of the cremation, were you guys at an actual crematorium or you guys had to make a makeshift thing about it as well?
That was all built by our production design team. That is shot actually in, I forgot which park it is, but in an environmental center. So that whole crematorium furnace is built by our set team. So they built it. We had a real fire in there. So we did not, unfortunately, because of COVID, a lot of the crematoriums in Joburg weren't allowing people in. So we had to build our own.
Okay. No, it makes sense why Swanky and Tando were so calm, because looking at them being in a crematorium, we would have, it would have been, yeah, we would have gotten some.
Tando is very comfortable around coffins. In her previous,
oh my gosh, Lelo.
She was in a coffin.
Lelo, you're finding the bag again.
Mutatu, do you feel that you were cast into the right family? Because I know you're a kind of suave guy. You're the cigar and the nice cognac kind of guy. Do you believe that you were cast in the right family, or you would have made a perfect fit into the Twilas based on your role that you played on Isidingo? I think you could have done well as a Sillo as well, you know, downgrade your life.
Take it easy on fumbling the bed, but it's fine. I think I was cast in the right family. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be succulent, you know. So I think I'm fine where I'm at.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Lalela, umbabakashaka. Oh, we've lost Trevor Kumbi, and I think that Trevor was actually cast into the perfect family. As a Sillo, it would have added more chaos into an already chaotic environment. That family, guys, that family is absolutely chaotic. Every member of that family has got to go. Like, listen, I'm not a fan of the Sillos. I'm a Twala fan, and I just want to declare it through and through. Lwazi, if we were to move to season 3, just off the cuff, what direction would you take as a writer? Like, what do you see happening?
Hey, see now, you're trying to get me to trouble with my bosses who've already said, you know, Netflix must listen and say, but, I think that there's, I mean, like I've said before, this cast is huge and there's so many incredible characters in it. And I think there's so many dynamics that still need to be explored. And I think, you know, it's a Twitter space. Let me be raucous. I think that Grace and Sia should get it on. Season 3, this is what should happen.
What?
What? What?
No, can I just say something, guys? Can I just say something? I was very disappointed that Umamncane and Udesmond did not get it on. I was expecting Uncle Shadrach and Mamncane to have something, and then it just fizzled. Like, you guys hinted at it, and then you didn't carry it through. Was that intentional? What happened there? Because we were, like, expecting something to happen. All of a sudden, there's nothing between Ushadrach and Mamncane.
Shadrach was taking booze. One for the team.
Yeah.
He was taking
and
one for the team.
Shadrach loves booze. You saw him name the alcohol one by one. Are Moet Nyana, sweet red wine. You know, so I don't think any woman can compete with that. That was part of the plan, but then we had to be true to the character. The character would be more interested in drinking. And as you saw, his catchphrase became drinking with the Zulu men. So, yeah, in real life, he wouldn't hook up with anybody.
I would also like to see Rami's character actually get it on. Because can I tell you something? Like, we've seen Rami grow
as an actress, like in terms of what she's done, like with her list of great things that she's done. But she's at this point in her career now where I want to see her take it there. And so I'd like to see this character that you guys have built for her actually have a romantic relationship, because she's another chaotic person. She's like a mini Tumi that just hasn't gotten a time, like the chance to actually be a Cancer in that family. So I'd love to see you guys actually explore that as well.
And speaking of Tumi, guys, I'm really, really disappointed. I'm actually hurt. Ubusi was in the space, but I couldn't find her. I kept scrolling down to see her so I could add her as a speaker. Busi, if you're still here, please, please, please request to speak so we can add you. I know we have got Khotatso who has got a question for the team. Khotatso, welcome.
Thank you again. I think earlier the space cut me and I was just getting to my question. You know, it's beautiful. The production was amazing. Can we bring it closer to the people? I live in Esteres, and I was wondering if we could request the cast and the crew to actually come down and have a live streaming of the show, and maybe do it in many other communities as well, because I don't think not everyone has access to e-Netflix. You know, everyone has sufficient data to watch these shows, but it would be nice to have a community. I'm seeing, you know, what South Africa has produced here live, and then actually being in the position to maybe even interact, yes, at a distance because of COVID-19, with some of the actors and the crew members, and even ask questions, you know, and then maybe even get to share the questions on social media platforms so that, you know, we can make this thing bigger, you know, and then reach as many people as possible. Thank you again for this opportunity. Highly appreciated.
Rutabile, you want to take that?
I was actually going to pass this over to Marang. You know, it's exciting, the space that Netflix brings, and we wanted to do a roadshow this year because of the Omicron virus, unfortunately, we were not able to do it. But I'm sure there'll be many opportunities to, you know, bring the show to different people. I will not speak on behalf of Netflix PR. So Marang, if you can also answer this question, that'll be great.
I've added her on as a speaker. Hopefully she accepts the invitation.
You know Marang never wants to speak. You know Marang never wants to speak. She's not going to accept the invitation. Marang never wants to speak. Like, she only comes onto spaces and she listens and she goes and does her job. I'd be very surprised if Marang actually joins and speaks. Marang, this is me challenging you to come through and let the people hear your voice. But yeah, Ritabile, in terms of what you, she just sent me a WhatsApp and she said, forget it. Ritabile, the thing is, you guys have created something so amazing. And I agree with what the previous speaker said. You guys have created something so amazing that showcases South Africa in a different light. And yes, you guys have created it for Netflix, and I understand that. But what the guy said is that it would be so amazing for the rest of South Africa to actually see what we are capable of doing. Because we understand the data issues in this country. We understand the socioeconomic climate. But so certain people cannot get access to that. So it's still very elite. So I don't know how you guys are planning, maybe 5 years down the line with Netflix, to sort of like put it out there so South Africans can actually see that we are capable of doing better.
Yeah, I think already there are plans on the Netflix platform that allow for this. There's actually a cell phone plan that allows you to tune into content. And when you think about it, and I know I always explain this to people because people go to me, but I don't, you know, how much is it? I don't get how it works and how easy it can be. If you think about it, you went to the movies and you're paying 100 rand just to see one film, and that excludes your popcorn and your cold drinks and stuff like that. With Netflix, you're paying the 100 rand and you get access to all sorts of content, number one. And number two, yes, the data thing is an issue right now,
But I'm always like, go to your favorite restaurant, go to a Starbucks, download the episodes on the app, and then you can watch them without killing your data from home. And I hear you say in 5 years, you know, in 5 years, I believe that our infrastructure will be in a better space, that everyone can have access to the content. But there are ways to be able to bring this content to the people through the platform. There are different data plans that are coming through with the different telecommunication networks. So I'm thinking in 5 years, it will be a joy for people who haven't seen How to Christmas to discover it on the platform. And I see Netflix growing from strength to strength in that way. I think Africa is the next biggest boom, and that's why our content is working. You know, gone are the days where America and content was king in that side of the world. Now we're watching the rest of the world. And yes, data is a struggle now, but I don't think that's going to be a struggle forever.
Okay. No, I love that. I love that thinking. I've successfully bullied Marang to actually join the space. Welcome to the space, Marang.
Ooh, Marang is here. Yay.
I slightly hate you, but thank you. But yeah, thank you, Letty. There's really nothing I have to say beyond what Letty said. We're really, our role is just to enable our incredible storytellers to do what they do. And as she really amazingly articulately stated, there's many ways to skin a cat. There's many ways to download and view this content. We're always exploring ways in which to do this. We're open. We're always learning. This space, I think, is a first for all of us in many respects, bringing the cast, creators, and writers into one space with the fans. So this is just one example of how it is we do things at Netflix. And I'm really not one to answer questions on behalf of our creators. I really just let them, we prefer to let them shine as Netflix. So thank you, Reti, for that amazing answer. Thank you all for your time, your attention, and your love. We love the show as much as you do. And yeah, just keep watching this space. Thank you. Bye.
Wait,
thank
Marang,
you, Marang.
Did you write a press release before, like, that was like 30 seconds before I invited you on? Because that sounded very crisp and on point.
Maple,
thank you. And a good night to all of you.
Marang would like us to wrap up because we literally booked the cast for an hour and a half and that ended at like 8:30. But I'm having so much fun and I really want to continue having the space, but I think we need to wrap up a bit. So maybe, Maple, let's give two people a chance to ask questions and then we wrap up because we know our spaces, Maple, they go on for like 4 hours. So I'm going to give Spiwe, Sim Mtabela an opportunity to ask questions to anyone who's one of the speakers. Like we've got Rami, Tando, Sandile, Swanky, Retabile and Lwazi, do you have a question for any of them? And Mutlatsi is also here. Do you have a question, Simpiwe?
Hi, guys. Thank you. One thing about the show that I hate is that I can't sleep at night. I couldn't sleep for the past couple of days because I needed to watch it for like from 2 o'clock in the morning, watch it. Then there were meetings. But anyway, Rami?
Rami is here.
Yes,
she can
here.
Hear you.
Oh, Rami is here. I'm privileged to know you. Ntwana Yase Proti, I'm privileged to know you as well. And I understand Indaba Wuti, Mr. Mkiza was saying, Kukujile Pere, Likundra, Ntumle Keres, whatever that he was saying every time. He's saying something that I don't understand, but I think I understand it. But great show, guys, and I appreciate the fact that you making South African everything as South Africa in the sense. Sandile Matangu, you made a great show, guys, and thank you, guys.
Okay, guys, my granddaughter is trying to take the phone away from me. Thank you so much, Spiel.
Okay.
This little one is trying to grab the phone.
Let me grab it. It's fine.
Thank you, Simpiwe. Amigo, the floor is yours. Welcome to the space. I actually think Amigo is one of those burner accounts that just request to come to the top and
They don't even have a profile picture, man. They don't.
Yeah, wait. There's somebody, Moses Ramahuma. I just actually gave him a thingy to actually come through. Moses, you've requested. I've accepted. I hope you come through. I hope iData is working for you. The speaker. While we're waiting for that, Luazi, in the writer's room, what sort of, I want to ask this question. In terms of representation, right, you guys have managed to represent the different social classes in South Africa. How are you guys moving forward? Let's say Netflix says that it's season 3. In terms of making sure that you increase the scope of representation in South Africa, because people watch TV to see themselves. And I see that members of the LGBTQIA plus community are still underrepresented on the show. And because of the aesthetic of the show, I feel that it would help to add that element as well. So, Luazi, going forward, would you guys be keen on doing that and actually doing it properly?
For me personally, I'm always keen to do that. I think, you know, when we can tell stories that are, you know, obviously we had a storyline in season one, but stories that go beyond the coming out and the stories that are that sort of explore queer relationships more. I think I would absolutely love to do that. And I know the team would absolutely love to do that. And I think when it comes to representation, you know, looking at, you know, the types of people and where it's set and all of that, with every season we're trying to, which opens up new characters. And I think this is a story that's rife for exploring different spaces, I mean, even the idea of, you know, going up, you know, going back to the Eastern Cape and going up the mountain, like already there, you're getting a completely different experience going into the Eastern Cape or something like that. So there's so much opportunity to do that. And I think as writers, we would all be incredibly, incredibly excited to really delve in and to really tell stories really well in a nuanced way. And, because obviously, especially in terms of queer relationships, what's important around representation is normalization. So yeah, 100% up for it.
Okay, fantastic. Cielo, welcome to the space. Do you have a question for the crew and cast of How to Ruin Christmas?
Actually, I don't have a question. It's more of a statement. My mom and I spent this entire day today cuddled up because it's freezing, and we watched the entirety of season 2. And I just wanted to say it was absolutely brilliant. We enjoyed it so much. We were laughing so hard. And I just want to say thank you for making such an amazing show. And I am hoping and praying we'll get another season.
I'm hoping and praying with you, my sister, because we need it. Netflix, I hope you are listening. Maple, you are co-hosting now. Run the show, please.
Oh, quick! I haven't been around for a long time. And but you know what, guys? I have to say, and I have to stress this as somebody who's co-hosting the space. Ritabile, the crew and the cast, it, for somebody who consumes TV like I do, like people like Rami will tell you that I consume TV. Mutlati will tell you how much I consume TV. Actually, Marang will tell you how much I consume TV. So I'm always kind of, I'm always comparing. And friends of mine who are actually working on South African television always say that don't compare because of the challenges that they face with broadcasters, with commissioning editors and so forth. And I love what you guys have been able to go and do. It is beautiful. That's why I agreed wholeheartedly to be part of this space, because I believe in what you guys are doing.
And I believe that if somebody is sitting in New York and they watch How to Ruin Christmas, they will not go, I'm watching an African production. It's kind of shabby. You guys actually stepped up and everybody that's acting on the production actually did the best that they could. And for me, I appreciate that. It makes me proud. And that's why I was just like more than when Lelo said, let's do a How to Ruin Christmas space. I was like more than willing because I believe in the product, because I never ever want to associate myself with a product that I don't believe in. And I really believe in this one. Moses, welcome to the space. Do you have a question for the cast and crew? And you are actually the last one before we close.
Thank you, Maple. I wanted to emphasize that we want to close after Moses. We've been running for a while. Moses?
Hi, how are you guys? Thank you for the platform that you've given us, guys. It's such a wonderful show to watch. And I'd just like to call, to compliment you guys on the wardrobe, guys. It is amazing. And what it has done is it has showcased our design as South Africans and obviously a touch of some African element to it. And I would like to say to you guys, you've really showcased a very beautiful wardrobe, and I'm very much in love with it, especially Mr. Twala and his character. He comes across as a very good guy who is arrogantly looking stylish all the time. So does everybody else in the crew. But well done to you guys. And I would like to say that to all the designers, please share with us, and so that we can be able to support them. It shouldn't end only just only there, so that we, the ordinary people, could be able to access such similar designs in the globe across. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Moses.
That's amazing to say. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's so great because everyone brings their A game onto the show. It's like, yes, we may have created this concept of a series, but it doesn't come to life without every single person who brings their heart into it. And big shout out to Shelley, who is our costume designer, who sources the wardrobe for every single character uniquely, who goes to South African designers and engages them and, you know, has to push us and our boundaries. And we're like, is she really going to wear that? I mean, you either love Dumi style or you don't love Dumi style. But the point is, every single character is considered, including the kitchen tea towel that Babu Mkhize wears in KZN. She really thinks about it. To our set departments and our production design, who bring the worlds to life. The fact that that space you see is not a crematorium, that they build that, you know, the funeral at the beach house, everything is brought to life because everyone works so hard to bring it. So I'm very grateful to have had to work with all these people, and may we continue to make art together. And thank you, Netflix, for bringing this all to life. For Kat and I, we are living our dreams, and it's absolutely amazing. And to Lelo and Mable, thank you for the space. Let there be more. And we're going to have a writer's room on the space. We'll have a secret space so we can, if we get this next season, we need to have
one. I absolutely love that. And by the way, my former co-host on TSA is here. Please make sure that you give Lisekho more airtime should you guys do another season. I need to see more of Lisekho because she needs to take me out for lunch, and it needs to be a great lunch. I don't want her with Ankipe on lunch on a budget. So it needs to be. So give her more. Give her more.
Okay. So, guys, we are about to close the space now. But before we do, I would just like to give last words to Rami, Mutlatsi, Swanky, and Lwazi. Just final words for us before we close the space. Mutlatsi, do you have any final words to the fans of the show? And, yeah, anything you want to say to everyone that's enjoying the show right now? But Mutlatsi already Beile in the background while he's watching something clearly.
Yeah,
all right. Swanky. So let me go to Swanky. Swanky, any last words before we close the space?
Just in short, thank you for the support. As well, thank you to Netflix. I think it's already been said, for giving us the platform to showcase really true and authentic South African stories. It's been a privilege being on the screens. It's been a privilege telling stories that South African people can find themselves in. So here's to telling more stories.
You are a Thank good you. Actress, lady. I want to see you in more productions. So well done to you on what you've absolutely. Done on the show.
From your lips to God's ears, Lelo. From your lips to God's
ears. Amen. Amen.
No, Swanky. Swanky, I love you too.
Brilliant writer, any last words?
I mean, it's probably going to be all of us saying the same thing, but a genuine thank you. I mean, we write in isolation. We spent most of writing this through Zoom meetings on laptops. So to see everybody love it, and, you know, and for me personally, thank you to our cast and to our crew and to our producers for making it all come to life and for just bringing their incredible talents to it. You make it great for us to write for all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Lwazi. I have to say, I watch a whole lot of TV, and there are a lot of South African shows that I complain about, but I couldn't find anything to complain about on How to Ruin Christmas. So thank you to the writing team. Thank you to the directors and the producers for everything that you did, for just giving us, you know, the quality that we see. I watch a lot of international shows. Thank you for giving me that quality that I usually see internationally. I really, really appreciate it. So, Rami, do you have any last words that you want to share as we close off the space?
Basically, everything that Swanky said, I stand with her completely and totally. Thank you so much for such overwhelming love and responses and just embracing how we tell the stories. And we hope that, you know, going forward, we'll be able to continue doing it in such an excellent manner, no compromising, and giving the best quality as best as we know how. And we hope that productions like Burnt Onion, you know, like they become some of the examples that can actually show what South African TV can do when it's being supported. And here is to younger producers, directors, and all of the people like Oratile, you know, there's so many, the list is endless, but I know Oratile was in the space. But I know there's a lot of young companies, young production companies that are coming up, and I hope that they get the same platform, same opportunities to tell such amazing stories. Our stories are endless, our stories are rich, the history is amazing, and I think it is time that the world got to see it in all its glory. And thank you so much, Netflix, for an opportunity. And yes, of course, please, Richie, can you please cast me in season 3? Don't kill me. Thank you, bye. I love you.
Oh, Reti, there are so many people that want to return for season 3. That means that you guys are actually doing a great job. Thank you so much for Netflix. Like, they gave us the opportunity with Lelo to actually host the space. We hope that there are many more to come, because we love having such conversations. And Lelo and I, by the way, are not the type of people that would associate ourselves with productions that we are just like, we watch a lot of TV. Like, we are watching Succession. We are watching so many productions that are at the top of the game. And when we saw what you guys
are doing. Even the ones at the bottom, like The Wife.
Yes, like, hi, Lelo, man, stop it. Please mute Lelo's mic. So, Reti, congratulations to you guys for coming up with this concept. Marang, congratulations for you guys at the Netflix head office for actually supporting this. And we are so glad that we see South Africans that are sitting in places like Amsterdam that can actually push the proper narrative. We know the struggles that we face in this country with productions and the way that actors are treated and the way that the working conditions are not that great. And so when we see actors willing to come to a space for free at night on a set on a Sunday, it means that you guys are treating them well. It means that they are appreciated, and it means that they believe in the product that they're working in. And so that for me is beautiful. And I'm so sorry that we had technical glitches where I could not be here for the rest of the for majority of the space. But from what I
was happy, I was happy having the attention all to myself.
Listen, so thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. We are going to do this again when you guys do How to Ruin Christmas season 3.
Absolutely. Thank you, Maple. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. The space has been recorded. If you would like to come back and listen again, you can just find it on my profile. I will be sure to tweet. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
some of us are going to work tomorrow. Goodbye. Marang wants to say something. Marang, before we close.
I was trying to send a heart. Sorry about that. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye.